Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with a Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And we have a great lineup of wine interviews coming this morning. Eric Ferry, managing partner at Heron Hill. And then Vinny and Kim Alaperty from Billsboro. Then in the second hour, Brendan Zugabe from Zugabe Vineyards, one of the three brothers runs Zugabe Vineyards. And then Ted Marks from Atwater, which is east side of Seneca Lake. But first, I saw a couple things posted, and I know this is flying around the internet and all kinds of media, that this coronavirus it's no worse than the flu, and we have turned this into a circus. Because it's really no worse than the flu, and that's just wrong. I mean, right now, I guess, what was it, 36,000 deaths a year because of the flu, and that's over 12 months, and that's with a vaccine. And we are not doing any extraordinary measures with the flu. We went about our everyday lives, and no one self-isolated or did anything because of the flu. People got shots, not everyone, and I usually got mine. I really didn't want the flu. But the vaccine for the flu is not 100%. It's maybe only 30% effective because the flu changes each year, the strain of the flu. So we're comparing the number of deaths over 2 months, which is going to soon double the number of flu deaths in an average year. So again, we're looking at 2 months versus 12 months, and we're looking at an infection and all kinds of complications caused by a virus for which there is no vaccine. And so we are shut down. And so you can't compare flu deaths when we're not shut down with coronavirus deaths when we are shut down. It's comparing apples and oranges. The numbers are not relevant because each situation is being treated so differently. There are no extraordinary measures with the flu. 36,000 deaths over 12 months and 2 months of the coronavirus, and we're approaching double that, even though so many people are staying home, and really an astounding number of people who shut down the economy. And if we hadn't done that, we would have far more deaths. I saw someone refer to this as the kill rate, which sounds, I don't know, this sounds like a bizarre term, but I guess it's accurate, the mortality rate. Somehow sounds better. They may end up being similar, but we have a disease which no one has immunity to, and what we are finding out has a lot of complications that we maybe didn't realize, namely stroke for fairly young people that they just don't normally see. And one last point. There's talk that Governor Cuomo is inflating the number of deaths. Actually, the opposite is true. And why would he inflate the deaths? It doesn't make him look good. But there are a lot of people who have died at home who have not been tested for COVID, and they are not included in that number in New York State, the number of deaths. They are a separate number, thousands of people. And you could say, well, they didn't die of COVID; they died of something else. The numbers of people that die each day in New York City are historical figures for that. And suddenly, it's 10 or 20 times higher than before COVID arrived. You could probably take a pretty good guess that that's the COVID virus that's causing those. So the deaths would actually be higher they're not being exaggerated. They're being undercounted, if anything, because we don't have the tests. We still don't have the tests. So when you hear people compare the flu to the COVID-19, it's not a valid comparison. Again, the economy is shut down, and that is the reason we don't have as many deaths, and yet it's still double the flu deaths, or soon will be, in an average year, and we're only at 2 months for the coronavirus. So it drives me nuts to see that. It's because it's just not a rational argument. But rational arguments don't seem to carry a lot of weight when the science is not given any respect for what it can do, the fact that we need to rely on science and not on hunches and guesses and hopes. We need testing, and we need that as soon as possible. So I won't belabor the point, but really, you can't compare flu deaths with coronavirus deaths. It's just, it doesn't work. So we have some great interviews this morning with people in the wine industry in the Finger Lakes, which, like every business, is struggling right now, and they're doing some creative things to reach consumers and industry members to remind them of what's happening here in the Finger Lakes wine industry, and that the wines are still being made. You can order them. You can often do curbside pickup, but of course the tasting rooms are closed. And right now we have managing partner from Heron Hill, Eric Frary. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm frustrated over the comparison of flu deaths and coronavirus deaths, but other than that, I'm doing pretty well. And I saw you are doing a virtual tasting coming up, and you have a kit that you put together for it, which probably too late to order that at this point, but people can still do a tasting with you, and maybe you'll be doing something like this again in the future. So what did you set up for this virtual tasting this coming week?
So, Michael, we do have a virtual tasting set up for this Thursday the 30th at 7 p.m. on our Facebook Live, on our Heron Hill Facebook. And locally, we still have some time to ship if you're interested, but we also could offer pickup at our Candago location. But we are going to archive the video, so it'll be there. It'll be evergreen for people to use as an access it for resource.
Yeah, so we're tasting, the Candago.
It's called a five-bottle tasting flight, so you can enjoy similar winery-type experience at home. It's five of our top-selling wines. Includes tasting notes, a wine aroma wheel from the American Wine Society, a flavor chart, evaluation chart, four glasses, and a tasting mat. So it gives you some tools to have some fun, but also learn a few things.
So what's a tasting mat? People may not have done this.
So it's where you place your glasses, and it has each wine, and we taste in a progressive order of dryness to sweet, light-bodied to heavy. So we're taking all the guesswork out of what order to taste in if this is something you're doing at home. So it basically gives you the order and what to taste in.
And the what's kind of the focus of this one? What's the theme of it?
So this five-bottle pack, as I mentioned, is some of our top sellers, but we're focusing also on our founders, state vineyards on the western shore of Canandaigua Lake. So we're starting out with our Ingle Vineyard, Un-Oak Chardonnay, which John and Joe Ingle, who founded Heron Hill in 1977, have 30 acres in Canandaigua. And then we're going to move to our Reserve Pinot Blanc, which is a nice, again, stainless steel, no oak impartation. Third, we'll be tasting our Ingle Vineyard Riesling, which is an excellent cellar for us. And also, Ingle Vineyard wines have been produced at single vineyards since 1977. We're one of the oldest wineries producing single vineyard wines, and they've become a little bit more popular in the last dozen or half a dozen years, but we've been producing single vineyard as single vineyard wine since 1977. And then we're going to taste into some reds, our Eclipse Red, which is a Bordeaux blend of Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon, which is our number two seller overall. And then we'll finish with our classic Cabernet Franc, which really is, you know, a red grape that a lot are embracing, that the Finger Lakes does very well.
And it's really fairly recently that the Finger Lakes is getting a lot more respect for those dry reds, right?
Yeah, you know, truthfully, we've gotten better, our viticulture techniques, but also, this is a topic for another time, but global warming is real, and we measure heat in the Finger Lakes by growing degree days, and those growing degree days have increased. So not only have we gotten better, but we've gotten some assistance in the cooler climate with some of the aspects of global warming. So the reds, as you said, Michael, Riesling is what we're known for and is very much embraced by consumers. And I would say Cabernet Franc is truly being embraced by consumers also. But we do have an interesting program at Heron Hill where we've been producing a Blaufränkisch or Lemberger varietal at 100%, not blended. And we feel there's a lot of opportunity for that, but not a lot of planting currently in the Finger Lakes. I believe near 30 acres of Lemberger planted currently.
And actually, I was looking at some figures for the number of acres of vinifera grapes in general in the Finger Lakes, and it's probably lower than people realize. We have a lot of potential to increase the amount of vinifera being produced in the Finger Lakes. And the other side of that climate change coin is that we're a cool climate, but some of the warmer climates are getting warmer, and that really gives us some leeway with things like a Riesling, where a cool climate is it's a big advantage to get the acidity, isn't it?
Yeah, Michael, you know, to your point, cool climate, we're dry farmers here, meaning we don't use irrigation, and cool climate produces grapes and wines with a touch more crisp acidity and a little bit less alcohol, which our wines throughout the world are considered to pair best with food. And those warm climate growers are facing everything from, you know, we all hear it, fires and drought. So there are some aspects that do help us, although we are certainly considered a cool climate.
And you mentioned the Eclipse Red, but you also have a delicious Eclipse White. That's, I guess, what, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay?
Yeah, Michael, as you mentioned, our Eclipse Red actually is that we're in our 28th year of producing Eclipse Red. And we do have an Eclipse White that's just under 20 years. And it's a Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, and unoaked Chardonnay. And that's been produced, as I said, just short of 20 years. But we've had three vintages of our new Eclipse Rosé, which is a 51% Merlot and 49% Cabernet Sauvignon dry rosé in the Eclipse bottle. That's excellent, and it's one of the very few produced from both Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon in the Finger Lakes.
And you've a lot of the Finger Lakes wineries run out of the dry rosés, and so they're generally released around this time of the year. It's kind of discovered dry rosé time, and but they don't need to be consumed quickly, like, you know, the nouveau type wine. They're good for a few years at least.
Absolutely, Michael. You know, you and I've been around the wine business for I don't want to say how many decades, but the seasonality of rosés has really lengthened. And the acceptance of the consumer, you know, we currently have some of our 18 rosé, which we purposely kept back. As I said, it's Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, so it has some increased structure and tannins, and it's actually tasting absolutely beautiful. So we're able to do a vertical, which means tasting two vintages, the 18 and 19, And the 19 certainly has some brighter fruit, but the 18 is excellent in its own right. So, yes, they are becoming more accepted year-round. I'd say they're close to a 9 or 10-month acceptance for consumers these days.
Well, I've been promoting the dry rosé for Thanksgiving dinner table for quite a while because you get three glasses of wine per person, a red, a white, and a dry rosé, and you have the most beautiful table you can imagine with all of those colors on the table.
Yeah, and dry rosé, a great pairing is, you know, spring vegetables, asparagus on the grill with a little light balsamic reduction is a great pairing with our Eclipse dry rosé. And as I said, our Eclipse red is our number two seller, and the Eclipse line stands on its own and very well. People enjoy it very much.
And it's been in a screw top for a long time, which I don't think the entire time, but many years. It was one of the earlier screw top bottles, I think. And so the label's cool with the moon, and I think actually you guys served it during one of the eclipses a few years ago. So it's a great name.
We did, Michael. Yeah, we were an early adopter for Twist Cap in the Finger Lakes, and you know, our classic wine, which the Eclipse line is in, and our Ingle Vineyard whites, and our even our reserve whites in that $25 to $30 range, we've really embraced the Twist Cap, and the technology is excellent. And on the red, you know, in recent years, there is opportunity for the reds to actually breathe and create some exchange with the liners. So the technology has increased, allowing us to use it for our red wines, where traditionally it was used for only white. And the Eclipse bottle, as you mentioned, Michael, is all decorated right on the glass. You know, and part of our history and John and Joe's vision is sustainability, and that communicates over to the winery. And within the last 3 years, we've changed to a different process on our glass. It's more environmentally sound. So we use a UV process now to create that decoration on the bottle, but people still collect those bottles and enjoy them, and they're recognizable.
Yeah. And maybe future virtual tastings will have a vertical or something as part of it. I'm guessing you'll probably do more in the future.
Well, Michael, we have so our virtual tasting is scheduled, again, for this Thursday at 7 p.m. And 2 weeks from this Thursday on, I believe that is, I just wrote down the date, Michael. We also are going to have, we're going to continue the series. So on Thursday, May 14th, to your point, we're actually going to offer a vertical and a horizontal at the same time with our Chardonnay. So Thursday, May 14th, virtual tasting, Heron Hill Facebook Live with our Chardonnay. We're going to have vertical vintages of Ingle Vineyard Chardonnay. And we also have a subtly oak Chardonnay in our reserve series called Mackley Vineyard. We'll have a vertical, and then we'll be tasting horizontally the 17 Ingle, 17 Mackley, and 17 Reserve Moore. So a little bit to your point, that we are going to have a vertical and horizontal tasting on the 14th.
All right. And as you said earlier, you can people can pick them up for this Thursday if shipping can't be done, but you can pick them up curbside at the winery and plan ahead for May 14th as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, at heronhill.com, very easy. We actually include free shipping for any six bottles or more, which these flight packs are considered. And we can schedule pickup in Canandaigua also to help anyone that's interested. But we are offering free shipping on six or more bottles throughout these times. As you mentioned on your intro, you know, we're adapting and pivoting our business to give consumers that enjoy our product availability. And, you know, one thing that I know you've spent a lifelong doing, Michael, is locally, you know, the beverage industry is adapting to all that's going on, and we hear things that alcohol sales are up. You know, it does move towards staple type items, but I want to report to you, because I know this is close to your heart, that in the Finger Lakes region, in the upstate region, Finger Lakes wines are considered by consumer to be staple items. And where retail stores remain open, our retail partners are seeing New York wines and Finger Lakes wines specifically still selling. So thanks. I want to thank everyone for the support.
Well, I think it was Gene Pierce from Glenora who put out his Glenora Gazette reminding people that a year ago, I think Glenora had 1,700 visitors coming in their tasting room over the week, and they had 27 visitors doing curbside pickup. The liquor stores are doing well, but the wineries, you don't have the tourist visiting because it's shut down, and that's a huge difference for the wineries to try to deal with, isn't it?
Absolutely. Visitation is a major percentage of our sales revenues, and really what better way to engage consumers and both in the Finger Lakes, our restaurant scene, and our wine. So that aspect is absolutely gone. It has opened up other opportunities, but visitation and on-premise sales for wineries are virtually down to the single digit to curbside pickup. So it is a major impact. It's been a busy time for us. You know, farming continues. Agriculture stops for no one. So we're busy in the vineyards, but we're working behind the scenes. So when this passes, that we have some new plans and implements in place to keep everybody safe and comfortable.
One last thing. I haven't tried your Reserve Velvet yet. This is a dessert wine, I think.
Yes, Michael. So it's our answer to a Ruby-style port. It's actually the Bordeaux mix that we use in Eclipse. It's Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, aged in an oak barrel over two winters, and then fortified. And again, Heron Hill being a farm winery, fortified with New York high proof. So it's around a 19% Ruby-style port. And if it's something you're interested in, Michael, there may be some packages out in our retail store partners, but we are out of it. We're looking to bottle some more in the next 2 weeks. If it's something you're interested in and you can't find it, reach out. But it will be available shortly. Fortified Ruby-style port with our Bordeaux mix varietal.
Excellent. Again, heronhill.com, people can get details on the winery, and it was one of the very early wineries after the Farm Wine Act. I think it was you and Wagner and Glenora opened after that as really the first of the new wave of wineries in the region.
Yeah, we were number two for the Farm Winery Act, and we're glad to remain a farm winery. It does require that all of our fruit come from within New York State. But that's something we feel is a statement of our house style and quality. So we enjoy that. And although we've been around 43 years, we want to remain relevant and, add dry rosé. We now have a sparkling series called Lady of the Lake. So we're glad to be a part of the founding fathers, but want to keep it fresh for new people.
Yeah. So the tasting this Thursday, virtual tasting, where do people find it?
So it'll be on Heron Hill Winery's Facebook page. It's going to be a live streaming video on Facebook Live at 7 p.m. And we're putting together a regular series, so it looks like we'll have our first one, our inaugural virtual tasting. The product is available, and we look forward to having everyone participate. And certainly if you're interested in any of the product, that, as Michael mentioned, heronhill.com, or give us a call.
But also it'll be recorded. People can find a link to it afterward.
Yes, Michael. It'll be recorded and always archived, so you can get the kit at your own time frame and schedule, and it'll always be there for yourself. I didn't mention that, again, the five bottles of wine and all the supporting material, it's $99, includes free shipping. So it's really a nice opportunity to feel like maybe you're at a tasting. I hope I can keep up the standards with my consumer educators at the winery with me executing this versus one of our trained professionals.
Yes, but one of the advantages is for people who are taking part from home, they can be in their pajamas, you know, and you can't do that in a tasting room.
Sure, and we're going to have messaging available. I'll have somebody moderating, so we'll take some questions. And, well, you know, as I like to say, wine adds to everything, whether it be your meal or your evening or your day. It really does add to whatever your interest and whatever you love to do.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Eric, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Thursday on Facebook Live.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Eric Ferry, managing partner at Heron Hill Winery. That's Cuca Lake. And you mentioned the Canandaigua Tasting Room, and that is the Canandaigua Tasting Room is at the kind of across the street from Bristol Harbor. So it's not in downtown Canandaigua. It's down the west side of Canandaigua Lake. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's an old barn that they're in. And that's the Canandaigua Tasting Room. They also have one on Seneca Lake, on the west side of Seneca Lake, as well as the winery and the main tasting room on Cuca Lake. So it's a gorgeous spot there on Canandaigua Lake where they're located. And that's where he mentioned you could pick up the bottles and the pack if you want to do the tasting, the virtual tasting, this Thursday. But you can also listen and catch it after the fact, too. So many wineries are doing this. We're going to talk about several other ones that are offering virtual tastings this morning. There are, I think, at least a dozen now that are or have done some, and we'll probably continue to do that. We'll take a quick break. Be back after words from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
Down in Petersburg, everything's fine. All them cats is drinking that wine. Drinking that mess is their delight. When you get drunk, start singing all night. Drinking wine's for you to drink wine. Wine's for you to drink wine. Wine's for you to drink wine. Pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess is their delight. When it gets drunk, start.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of The Grapevine, without which I wouldn't be on the radio. Let them know that you listen. And these are some cool places to visit right now for curbside pickup, but to visit online and also to order. You can have them shipped to your door. And Arrowhead Spring Vineyards is one of those. They're in western New York, and they are right at the base of the Niagara Escarpment, just north of Lockport. And I picked up some wine from them about a week ago and just had the Cabernet Franc two nights ago. And it's a slightly warmer climate than the Finger Lakes. This was a 13% alcohol Cabernet Franc that was, it was so rich. I think if you served this to someone who was used to California wines, not the super high alcohol ones, but to a slightly warmer climate, they would be very impressed. It's really a deep, rich red. They also do Syrah, Pinot Noir, and have been expanding their red wine production. It's arrowheadspringvineyards.com, and again, they have shipping available, of course, curbside pickup. I just opened my trunk. They set it in the trunk, and off I went. And really a beautiful drive out Route 104 to see all the cobblestones. You'll see probably two dozen cobblestones, including a church and several other styles of warehouse that's made of cobblestone, too, on your way out Route 104. It's really a beautiful drive, especially as all the apple trees and cherries start to bloom here. Even more beautiful time of the year to go to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards and maybe take the road trip to pick it up, rather than having it shipped. Again, curbside available at arrowheadspringvineyards.com. Also brought to you by Ristorante Lucano. And because of this shutdown and so change in some of the rules, the winery or restaurants can sell wine by the bottle. And cocktails and other things. But you know, Ristorante Lucano has some fabulous Italian wines. It's Italian cuisine, truly Italian, not Italian American, and they're doing takeout. So experiment, try some Italian wines maybe that you haven't tried before. Learn a little bit more about Italy with some wine from Ristorante Lucano as well as the takeout. I just had their vegetarian lasagna last night. I'd gotten like 4 servings of it a couple weeks ago. Put several in the freezer and had one last night. It was fantastic. Zucchini, eggplant, more cheese than I'd like, have ever had in lasagna. It was outrageously good. So they are doing takeout, ristorantelucano.com. Check them out online and get some Italian wine to go with that. Finally, brought to you by Rohrbach's, our hometown craft brewer for a couple of decades. They founded back in 1991. John Erlob started on Gregory Street and in the old German house. They moved out to Buffalo Road and opened the brew pub and continue to do that brew pub now and offering takeout, as well as the beer hall on Railroad Street, where they have their main production for beer. And you'll find their beer at many grocery stores. Lots of restaurants carry it. Griddle Cakes is one of their newest. But Space Kitties, one of my favorites, partly just for the graphics. It's a double IPA, and I just kind of love the name. It's, again, Rohrbach's.com for more details. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine. Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And small businesses are especially challenged during this time. You know, a lot of the bailouts, et cetera, you know, and funds for small businesses, a lot of those went to Shake Shack and Ruth Chris. I don't know. Some of those businesses were so embarrassed that they returned the money, which tells you something about how the program was set up. But for the truly small businesses in our area, the restaurants, the wineries, the breweries, the stores, you know, all of these small businesses, support them as much as you can. And, you know, just ordering 6 bottles of wine, getting, you know, 3 or 4 dishes takeout at a restaurant, putting some in the freezer, it makes a difference to those business owners and employees to see that support. It's, in a sense, it's not even the dollar amount as much as the connection and the reminder that people are thinking about you and they are supporting you. So keep that in mind as you are making decisions about, you know, buying from local farmers. And especially, you know, I was reading an article interview with Dan Barber, one of the most famous chefs, and you should read his book, Third Plate, as a chef at Blue Hill Stone Barns in Tarrytown. And you know, he said he had a pheasant farmer who was raising pheasants just for Blue Hill Stone Barns. That is just one client. And that had been working out great until the shutdown. And now that farmer is stuck with a lot of pheasants and not really a market for them. And this is happening all across the country this challenge of supplying the suppliers of restaurants or farmers markets or whatever. So find a way to support them. And some restaurants are offering kind of groceries from their suppliers. There's a number of those examples. And a lot of other creative ways to get that food out there and support our local businesses. But right now we have a special guest with us, and it's actually both Vinny and Kim Alaperty from Billsboro Winery. Good morning. Beautiful day, like yesterday, right?
Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Michael. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And the it's April showers bring May flowers. The grapevines at this time of the year are getting ready to break bud. Normally, you would be seeing tourism increasing, right? Tasting would be getting busier in April.
Yeah, definitely. This is the time of year that we start our driveway is blooming with daffodils. We have daffodils that line the whole driveway up to the barn, and I cut them, and they're all over the tasting room typically, and it's the time of year people start sitting outside on the patio. It's a little different this year.
Yeah. Well, what's Billsboro doing to connect with your fans and people who would normally be in the tasting room?
Well, we've remained open. Fortunately, wineries have been considered to be essential businesses, so we are open for curbside pickup like just about all of the wineries out there. But we've also started doing some virtual tastings, and we were inspired by that. It wasn't an original idea. We were inspired by some of our friends in the industry, and we have gone through 3 weeks now. We have a regular virtual tasting on Saturdays at 5:30 where Vinny and I sit in our kitchen like everybody else out there and taste through the wines with whatever snacks we have in the house and connect. And I heard you saying it earlier. It's really not so much about the wine or even selling the wine, which, of course, we do want to sell wine, don't get me wrong. But it's amazing how good those sessions feel we connect with people. You see other people's names there, and they're writing in comments, and it's a great feeling.
As I said earlier, I think, but you can't tell they're wearing pajamas and things. So that, it's really
exactly.
And how does it feel that you never really were aiming to be like TV stars, right?
I'm not going to lie, it's a little outside of our comfort zone for sure.
Exactly.
We did it three times. We got a little feedback that the third one was the best one yet, and I think that's just how it's going. Each one is a little better because we learn from our mistakes.
Well, and just become more comfortable with the format. Both of you have been doing public presentations, and wine dinners and things for, I don't know, like 30 years.
Yeah, so 15 years at least with Billsboro, yeah.
Yeah. So you're familiar with doing this kind of thing and speaking and offering your wines, but somehow it's different when there's a camera and you don't really know who's out there. It's sort of like me, on the radio. I have no idea who's out there listening. I can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
They message me, but
no trouble transitioning, right?
Yeah, but I still like radio where no one can see me. It's that there's just something more mysterious about radio. So I don't know that I'm going to be doing any virtual tastings in the near future, but I'm glad that you are. And what kind of themes have you been doing for the tastings?
Well, for this first virtual tasting, we had just had our wine club go out, and we didn't want to, after that, sort of gouge people with, the request to buy another four wines from us. So we actually chose four wines that were included in our last wine club allocation. But they also happened to be spring wines because we also choose our wine club allocation by season. So we had our first one was our dry rosé of Cab Syrah. The second one was a Cab Sauvignon. And this past week we did a pre-release Chardonnay, and next week we're going to do a Sauvignon Blanc. So that was the first pack, and those were all, like I said, wines that many of our customers may have already had in their kitchens or in their wine racks. when we started this. And we are going to go. We decided because there is really no real true end in sight yet. We're gonna do it again. So we're gonna start up another 4 weeks, beginning in the second Saturday in May.
And Billsboro, more than almost any other winery, has been doing vertical tastings for your wine club and, you know, sit down tastings there in your tasting room for lots of years, that's something that maybe you can do in virtual tastings at some point?
I think so. In fact, that topic came up last night, Michael. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I know I get a lot of pleasure out of, to see how the wines have developed, you know, over time, and I know our customers do too. I mean, it's a unique opportunity for, you know, the consumer to taste wines that, you know, in my mind, you know, are just reaching peak, sort of peak form. You know, too many consumers, and, you know, we're guilty too, drink their wines, you know, very quickly, you know, especially these days. I think people are drinking even quicker than ever. But yeah, that format does allow people to have sort of a, you know, a insight into how wines in the Finger Lakes do develop. And I mean, the good news is that they are built to age. I mean, 10, 15 years is, with, you know, not out of the question. You know, whites and reds.
So, but it is a question of quantity, because it's hard to store enough. And then, you know, in this case, you'd be shipping entire bottles to people, when normally in a tasting, you'd be getting a glass, and you'd have, you know, four or five people per bottle in essence for these library wines. So it's difficult to do. You don't have unlimited storage, and, you know, 10 years ago, you didn't put away 50 cases of Riesling, probably.
You know, you're on to the challenge of being able to offer this opportunity in this format. You know, one idea is we could decant the bottles into smaller vessels and send those out, so more like a personalized volume. That's probably the most sort of practical way of going forward on that, with that model. But you're right. I mean, we typically only have 10, 20, you know, sometimes 30 cases of wine that we put back. So I don't know. Maybe we would include it in a wine club shipment. That's one other way of doing it. But just, you know, our virtual tastings are not just geared towards our wine club. It's really for the general public. So, as well as, you know, any of these online opportunities that we're going to start offering more in the past. So.
Well, it's...
Yeah, for now, we had a couple of vertical tastings coming up, and one has passed, and one was next weekend. For now, we've just postponed those till the fall. One of the things about those virtuals, I think, that makes it special, and it's also a function of what you said about quantity, is we keep those events small anyways. They're generally less than 20 people. So we feel like there may be an opportunity to kind of do those similarly to what we did in the past, maybe just in a little bit larger space. But, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Those wines will just get, you know, a year older. It's really not a problem. They're not going to go bad.
No, that's true. I mean, that is the wonderful part about wine. You know, wines that, you know, properly made, proper closures, yeah, they're going to outlive us. There's no doubt about it.
One of the other things that you've done, maybe more than other wineries, are do chocolate and wine pairings with Karimu chocolates, and you know, that was always a highlight in the tasting room. And again, it's like these other, it's a domino effect of small businesses that have been supporting and working together. That you know, if you're not doing those chocolate and wine pairings, you're not buying the chocolates. That goes with all the things, that local items that you sell in the tasting room these days.
Absolutely. It's a real loss. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I mean, Carrie and I still stay in touch quite a bit. We're friends, are right up and down the road. We were the happy recipient of a lot of leftovers in our refrigerator in the winery. Actually, we had quite a bit of cheese, sausage, and chocolate. So the chocolate's gone now, but we're working our way through the cheese. I think there's more sausage than we can eat in a lifetime. But It's really a shame. I think about, you know, the distributor I worked with Larry Wilcox and Artists, you know, Finger Lakes Artists and Foods, and we were buying, even in the slow season, a small winery like us, almost, you know, in the off season, twice a month, and in season, every week we were ordering a lot of food through him, because one of the other things we did at Billsboro that was quite popular was charcuterie boards with all local products, and that, of course, is completely dried up.
Yeah. I interviewed Sam Baskis yesterday, and she was talking about Blueprint Geneva, and you are a part of Geneva City Council, Kim, and there's a lot going on in the community to support each other, and it seems like it's kind of bringing Geneva together in a sense.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities. I'm on a list for just volunteers, and it could be anything from, you know, helping out in prep, or you have a truck and you can deliver some trees. You can go clean out a local area. It's a wide array of what people need. Some people need help with the shopping or distribution of a meal. There's something for everything, and there might not be something for you every week, but sooner or later there will be a job that anybody, you know, that has the time and the desire can help out, can feel that they can make a small difference.
And the Geneva is really, it's an amazing place. What you have, you know, cutting edge things like the Lake Tunnel Solar Village and all kinds of awesome food businesses. And it seems like Geneva is really kind of become the culinary, you know, heartbeat of the Finger Lakes. It's and you're just a couple miles south of it, very close, and it's got to be in some ways especially hard to see that kind of vibrant scene shut down like this, just as it's reaching its, you know, its stride almost, you know, try to support those small businesses that have helped to grow it.
It's really a shame. Like I said, you know, as a winery, I feel really fortunate that we are still able to get our product out there and to sell it. But the restaurants, I think, are the ones that are really suffering. And we've got some amazing restaurants, as you mentioned, in Geneva. And many of them are still getting by on, you know, with some pickup or delivery. But it's not the same. And, you know, even I think what we're all starting to think about at this point is when we do open up, what's that world going to look like, and how are we going to manage that? I believe that probably, too, is going to be a little bit easier for a winery. A lot of us wineries are owner-operators. We own our buildings. We don't rent them. It's going to be very difficult for the restaurants. They have a really rough road ahead, and it really is a shame to see that really blossoming industry here have those hurdles tossed up in front of them.
And again, if you get takeout from a restaurant, get a few extra dishes to give neighbors or to put in your freezer, it does make a difference for these restaurants. Vinny and Kim Alaperty are with us. It's Billsboro Winery, the west side of Seneca Lake. And Vinny, what wines will you guys be releasing in the near future? What are you bottling next? What's the sort of the map for the spring season?
Yeah. Right, so we've put the rosés in the bottle. So as Kim mentioned, those are already out now, the rosé of Pinot Noir and the rosé of Cabernet Syrah, which is quite unique in the Finger Lakes. And we are just about to release a couple 18 whites that would include the Pinot Gris, our Sauvignon Blanc, which is always a, you know, well-loved wine. And then we have a sparkling wine, made from Riesling, which we're calling Saluti. And then, of course, our much-beloved Albarino is going in the bottle this week. So, yeah, I mean, things in the cellar, in the vineyards, they haven't really slowed down much. You know, we continue to you know, push the wines forward into the bottles. As you alluded earlier, the buds are going to eventually push shoots very soon. You know, we've been a little bit slow this spring. Things have been delayed, but, and I mean, that's not really a bad thing. I know everyone's kind of complaining because you can't get out, but I get that. But the grapes, we don't want the grapes to be, you know, emerging from you know, their winter slumber too soon. In fact, I've been working in the vineyards the last few weeks, which has been a nice change. I can attest it to you, you know, how cool this April has been working outdoors, you know, for most of the month.
Right. Nice and windy, too, at times.
Yeah, windy, snowy. I mean, I think it's been a little cooler than even March was. We were really actually bracing for an early bud break about a month ago, thinking that we're going to have, an early start to the growing season. Just based on the temperatures all winter were really quite mild, but April has put things, back in sort of the normal category. You know, a typical bud break is around May 1st, and so we're looking like we're on schedule for a typical bud break, this growing season.
And then probably not much damage this winter, if any, from the cold. We didn't get below zero, I don't think.
It doesn't appear to be too much damage. I mean, we've cut buds and everything seems fairly healthy. So we have had some of these kind of swings, you know, in March and April, you know, temps getting up into the 60s and then back in the 20s at night. And, you know, as the buds get closer to emerging, they become less tolerant of those swings and their hardiness diminishes, their winter hardiness diminishes. So they are more vulnerable to damage. So we shall see, but I think chances are we're going to have a pretty solid crop this year, you know, knock on wood, and, you know, fingers crossed that we have a good growing season.
And also, I ordered a case of the FLX collaboration dry rosé, and your dry rosé is part of one of those 12 bottles. It's 12 wineries, and I think a brilliant idea to package those together.
That was an amazing idea. In fact, I haven't done it yet, but I fully intend to actually get one of those cases myself because, you know, like everybody else, we're not going out very often. You know, Vinny and I find we're almost a little more busy than ever right now. So, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I love my rosé. I drink it all year round, not just in the spring and summer. It's a great food partner.
Yeah, the pickup for this is at Zugabee Vineyards. You have to order in advance, and their first availability is this coming week on Wednesday is the first time they'll be available. But you can order them online. They'll ship it to you for $10. It's, I think, $190 for the case, which is, I mean, that's like $12 bottles of wine. It's a great bargain. And some outstanding dry rosés. Again, 12 different wineries, and you kind of get your own horizontal tasting of dry rosés. I'm going to put mine all out next to each other in the sunlight briefly so I can get a photo of the color of all these dry rosés. I love the variation of colors.
I do, too. That's a great idea. And actually, the 19s are really tasty, so never a better time than to take advantage of this offer.
One last thing. It struck me that these virtual tastings have potentially an advantage in that you can reach people, you know, around the world. Not everyone speaks English, so, you know, that may not mean, you know, the entire world, but if people let their friends and family know that you guys are doing these virtual tastings, and a lot of Finger Lakes wineries are, you know, they can watch from Texas or North Carolina or California and learn a little bit about the Finger Lakes, be introduced to some of the key people in the region, and there is a chance to broaden our audience in a sense with this.
Absolutely, and I think you're going to see more of that, and I think it's also going to be a necessity for us going forward. As you know, we're one of the smaller, you know, we're on the smaller side of production. At Billsboro, we do about 3,000 cases, and we've only shipped in the past to New York, Pennsylvania, and a little bit to Florida, but we are now expanding our shipment even at our small size because I think the foreseeable future is there's going to be more of selling your wines online, and the key to that is being able to get your wines to more people.
And also, it's a chance to meet the key people, you know, and when people come in tasting rooms, even fairly small wineries, they don't necessarily meet Vinny or you, Kim, because you're busy or doing other things. And I've always encouraged people to try to meet the winemakers and the winery owners because, you know, this young region, these are the people are going to be written about in the future. And this is a great chance to meet them in these virtual tastings. So, again, what's your where can people find your virtual tastings?
Well, we've been doing our virtual tastings on Facebook Live. They're on Saturday nights at 5:30. You can go right to our Facebook page, Hillsborough Winery on Seneca Lake. If you're there at 5:30, you may have to scroll down a tad, but you'll find the live video and you just click it and you join in. But they're also archived and you can watch them afterwards, and you can also watch them on our IGTV, our Instagram account later. So you can watch part or all at different times. You don't actually have to be there for the live stream. And we are all, I mean, you said it about the Finger Lakes. We're a very approachable, we're an approachable group, whether that's, you know, walking through a door or, you know, online. If you shoot us an email with a question, it will absolutely be answered.
All right. And again, we've talked about this with many wineries, but the Finger Lakes really has a collaborative sense to it, right? With the wineries working together, helping each other out with equipment, with labor, with, you know, whatever. That's true. It's a cool atmosphere that the public doesn't normally see.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we were really impressed, and, you know, when we first started making our first visits to the Finger Lakes, to see that, and there was such a stark relief to where we had formerly lived on Long Island, and I was in the wine industry on Long Island for many years. Certainly, a good bunch of people down there, but they did not collaborate. They did not have the same sort of sense of the whole, the sense of community is really, you know, tangible here. I mean, I think this whole rosé pack is a great example of that. You know, wineries pulling for each other, and, you know, customers are always so impressed and surprised, frankly, that we recommend our neighbors. You know, they're taken back at times, and, like, you know, because I think most people's mindset is that, you know, everyone's thinking out for number one, for thinking of their own bottom lines. But, you know, most of us, if not all of us, recognize that we're stronger when we work together.
Yeah, and again, it probably strikes other wine regions as an odd thing that Zugby Vineyards is selling wines from 11 other wineries. You know, they're competitors. Why don't they just send a case of their own Riesling, or their own dry rosé?
It's a win-win. You know, they're buying the wine from us, so we have a sale. And in this time when we're all trying to kind of, you know, get as many sales as we can because we're not seeing people through the door, you know, it's a way for them to connect with new people. And, of course, for all of us, our wines are now going to go out to a lot of people who are Zugabee's customers that may or may not have heard about us in the past. So I think it's really a win-win. It was a brilliant idea.
Yeah. So those are available now, ZugabeeVineyards.com. We'll talk to Brendan in a few moments, and the top of the hour. Thank you, Vinny and Kim, for spending part of your Saturday morning with us, and Sunday morning, and you know, good luck this growing season, and look forward to seeing you on Facebook.
Thanks for including us, Michael. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. Always a pleasure. Cheers.
Have a great day.
Stay well.
Yep,
you bye-bye. Too. Bye-bye.
That's Vinny and Kim Alaperty, BillsboroWinery.com, BillsboroBoro, BillsboroWinery.com, west side of Seneca Lake, just south of Geneva, and great place, old 18th century or 19th century barn that their tasting room is in, and, you know, this shutdown ends, the tasting rooms will reopen, and many of them are large enough that, you know, keeping some separation is going to be easier probably than, as is said, in restaurants. and spring is coming. The buds will be breaking soon. We'll be back with hour number two of The Grapevine. Talk to Brendan Zugabee from Zugabee Vineyards and also Ted Marks from Atwater in the next hour here on WYSL 1040.